Just a quick sound check. Can folks hear me okay? Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right. Gather all the things. Thank you, William, for asking me to speak. Usually when I reply that I'll actually that I'm willing to give a talk, I have some sort of an idea of what I might talk about. And this time I was like, well, nope, no ideas. But last night I was kind of reflecting a little bit as well as this morning. Just about, some of the things that have been hanging with me, I guess, while I've been attending the Wednesday evening Ancestors Koan discussion with the open source, and there's been a few things that have stuck with me, but I'll start off with Bai Zhang's fox, which has been hanging out. It's a story koan, and it's pretty long, and there's a lot of things in it. I'm only gonna pick out one little tiny thread of it, of course. So I'll just read it to you. Every time Bai Zhang, Zen Master Dahu, gave a Dharma talk, a certain old man would come to listen. He usually left after the talk, but one day he remained. Bai Zhang asked, "Who is there?" The man said, "I'm not actually a human being. I lived and taught on this mountain at the time of Kashyapa Buddha. One day, a student asked me, does a person who practices with great devotion still fall into cause and effect? I said to him, no, such a person doesn't. Because I said this, I was reborn as a wild fox for 500 lifetimes. Reverend Master, please say a turning word for me and free me from this wild fox body." He then asked Bai Zhang, does a person who practices with great devotion still fall into cause and effect? Bai Zhang said, don't ignore cause and effect. Immediately, the man had a great realization. Bowing, he said, I'm now liberated from the body of a wild fox. I will stay on the mountain behind the monastery. Master, could you perform the usual services for a deceased monk for me? That line is the one that I'm coming back to, by the way. Bai Zhang asked the head of the monk's hall to inform the assembly that funeral services for a monk would be held after the midday meal. The monks asked one another, "What's going on? Everyone is well. There's no one sick in the Nirvana Hall." After the meal, Bai Zhang led the assembly to a large rock behind the monastery and showed them a dead fox at the rock's base. Following the customary procedures, they cremated the body. That evening, well, I think I'll stop there. So the line that I kind of commented on, well, there's two places actually. One is when the monk asks for a turning word, and then the second one is when after he was liberated, could you perform the usual services for a deceased monk for me? And the part of it that stuck out for me was the willingness to ask for help. There's that willingness to ask for help shows up throughout our koans, and the other koan that comes to mind is Bodhidharma's pacifying the mind. So I'll just read that really, really quickly. It's a short one. Bodhidharma sat facing the wall. The second ancestor stood in the snow. He cut off his arm and said, "My mind is not at peace. I beg you, Master, please put it to rest." Bodhidharma said, bring your mind here and I will pacify it for you." The second ancestor said, "I have searched for my mind and cannot take hold of it." Bodhidharma said, "Now your mind is pacified." And that's a, cutting off your arm because your mind is not at peace and you want help, is certainly quite extreme. But I think one of the things that I'm not great at is asking for help. And so I've been kind of reflecting on why is that? What is asking for help feel like for me? I think, especially in Bai Zhang's Fox, there's this feeling, I'll call it hope, but it's not exactly the right word. But there's this feeling of there's a possibility that something different can happen, that somebody can help, that there is an alternate way things can turn out. And I think at times in my life, I've been in a place where I didn't have that belief. I didn't think that there could be something different. But I think one of the, at least it seems for me, maybe one of the precursors is this hopefulness, which I've noticed lately. I had a glimmer of hope at one point in the last, week or so. It's like, wow, I haven't been very hopeful lately. But it seems like things are pretty rough. And so I think one of the other things that's really important is, I've been in times in my life where I didn't really feel like there was much. I didn't know what to ask for. I didn't think there was a way that things could be different. And fortunately, actually, it was the Sangha that the several members of the Sangha that noticed that. And while there wasn't really anything that could make anything different, it was more just an acknowledgement of I see things look pretty rough right now. And sometimes that's all just voicing that so that somebody feels like they're not necessarily alone is very helpful. So in trying to understand for me why I've in different times or right now, why it comes up that there might not be a possibility for something to turn out in a different way in whatever, major or minor situation that's happening. What seems central is that there's a belief that it can't be different. I think about my beliefs and I have lots of beliefs. And some of them are helpful. Some of them come back to my belief that I can actually accomplish something or my which gives me a willingness to try. My beliefs that when I'm driving along a road, the car coming at me is not going to cross the yellow line. That's a helpful one. So I'm not suggesting that all beliefs are necessarily bad, but I think for me, what's coming up is this ability for a belief to box me in into things are going to be the same. And I'm one that doesn't really handle change very well, so beliefs can be pretty comfortable for me. And so with so many things over the last couple of years that have happened in our society, in our culture, in a lot of our individual lives, I've heard several times people say, and I've said it myself, these are hard times. And that I'm noticing has become a belief for me, which closes down the possibility for the beauty and the joy and the positive moments during these times, whatever these times are. And so I've been trying to, at least in my own mind, tell myself, well, these are just times. They're not hard times, they're just times, and they're different from other times. The getting stuck on the, oh, these are hard times, is feeling like it's holding me down. It feels like a weight to me, I think, in a way. The other piece to this that was coming up for me was the relation to our vow, I vow not to kill. And typically when I talk about or when I think about the vow not to kill, it's often externally focused. It's I vow not to kill somebody's joy. I vow not to kill someone's happiness. Sometimes it'll be an internal, I vow not to kill my own spirit, but not really an understanding of how I'm doing that. And so I think right now where this is showing up is I'm vowing not to kill the possibility that things can be different, or that there are joyous times right now. I vow not to kill, I guess the possibility really is where it's sort of landing. And I guess I wrote down, and I think this killing feels like it's a trimming a tree and cutting the branches and all the new little sprouts back so far that it's just this little stuck stump is sort of the physical feeling of it for me, where there's nothing left that can grow. And so that's sort of just the noticing of how that has played out time and time again in my life. Feels like it opens the opportunity for something different. So I think that's kind of where I am. I'll stop there.